This is our reality. As we strengthen, so too does our league. There is no easy path. So we can't just copy and paste our process from a year ago and expect to advance. To copy and paste is to remain the same. To remain the same is to abandon the mission, and our mission is winning. For us, this means embracing a process of continuous improvement that leads to us winning every game on our schedule. We believe we have what it takes to play into January, but we have to support our belief with a disciplined focus in the present. The burden of our goals is the pressure of knowing we can't afford to have an off night. We can't afford to have a lackluster effort or an unfocused snap. All this takes a mature team, and it takes a team devoted to winning.
That was Clark Lee on Monday at SEC Media Days. And when I heard that one specific line, Willie, we feel we have what it takes to play into January, I said, I wonder what Coach Willie thinks about this. And then I saw a lot of tweets about Diego Pavia. He did a lot of appearances at SEC Media Days, and he said, everywhere, I came back because I want to win the national championship. And I did see some reaction to Clark Lee's comment about playing into January from some smartasses who said, well, the Duke's Mayo Bowl is in January, so I guess he can't play into January, or the Liberty Bowl. But for those of you who have known Willie Donick for a long time, there's Willie, and then there's Coach Willie. And Coach Willie doesn't like to get ahead of himself. So I appreciate Clark Lee's and Diego Pavia's confidence. But when you hear those things from your alma mater, how do you feel, Coach Willie?
I think if you listen to the context of everything that Clark Lee said, and I can't speak for Diego. Diego is a different guy.
Yes.
Diego, and this is one big thing that Clark Lee discussed a lot. And I remember Mac Brown actually saying these same types of things about Vince Young way back in the day. You have to let your quarterback's personality come out. You got to let him be himself, even if you're not wired that way. And so that's what Clark Lee basically has done. He is letting Diego Pavia be himself. Now, there are discussions that they have, and he's talked about that, of, you know, make sure what you're doing matches up the goal of the group is really the only guideline he gives him, right? But he's giving him space to put his personality out there. And our discussion earlier this week when he was out there was, does he have that same drive? Now that he's probably making a lot more money, he's got the attention of everybody, does he still have that chip on the shoulder and underdog mentality that I'm going to show you that I can elevate people? As long as he's got that, I think you'll take what you get from rolling him out there. He's the guy. For Clark Lee, I think if you heard his comments, I didn't take it as he thinks they're going to be in the playoffs or anything like that. I take it as they know as the underdog, and nobody knows it better than Clark. Remember Clark's background. Grew up in Nashville. Underdog from the start. Was a college baseball player before he was a college football player. Walked on and earned a job for an underdog Vanderbilt team. So he knows how tough it is. He knows that if Vanderbilt walks out there and isn't sharp, they can lose to anybody. Pick out whoever you think is the worst team on the schedule. Opening day. Remember the very first game that Clark Lee's Vanderbilt team played? They got smoked by East Tennessee State, I think. I'm trying to forget that game happened. I was at the game. They got smoked.
Which year
by
was
East
that?
Tennessee State. 4 years ago was his first game.
Let's take a look. Yes, they lost 23-3.
23-3. Scored
State.
Three against East Tennessee State. So who nobody knows better than Clark Lee that if Vanderbilt is not ready to play, anybody can beat you. Now, their talent level is a lot better than it was that back then. So it's not as true as it was, but it's still the principle you have to go by. And so I think what he's desperately trying to drive into his team is, hey, last year was really good. But if you think you just kind of roll the ball out there again and be complacent, you're going to learn a lesson the hard way. And I I still have this theory as Coach Willie. Do they beat Alabama if they had beaten Georgia State the week before? If they had escaped and won that game, which they almost did. They struggled the whole game in Atlanta and still were basically one play away from a pretty miraculous comeback where they walk out of there going, we got it done. We played terrible, but we got it done. Did they have to lose that game to come out and be as sharp as they were? And maybe Alabama saw the score against Georgia State and said, they lost to Georgia State. We got an easy one coming here in Nashville. We're going to have fun. All of our fans are going to come in. We're going to have a great time in Nashville and roll out of there with an easy win. So if that lesson was driven home after the Georgia State game, then I think they have a chance to do what they did last year. And how did they do it? They slow the tempo down. They lower the amount of possessions. They give ground on defense. They make you earn the points. And then they grind on offense. He talked about they need to add to that. More explosive plays, more turnovers, etc. But they have a formula that worked, but only if they have tremendous execution every week. They have to overachieve more so than many of the other teams in the league, virtually any team that they're going to play in the SEC. Was that Coach Willie enough for you?
That was very
good. That was my Coach Willie channeled right there. But did you hear, like, I think if you took a snippet and just put it in an article, you know better than most as a writer, you could take a snippet of Clark Lee's statement we just played.
Well, that's what
happened. I think we can play until January, and you're like, whoa, what is he doing?
That's what I saw. I saw that one line tweeted out. And a lot of, again, as I said, smart ass would say, well, the Duke's Mayo Bowl is in January.
But forget
this
about
year.
That. Let's not even worry about that.
I know.
You could take that in hyperbole and say, they think they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, that's why I wanted to hear it and not just read it.
Right. But Clark, you can't escape that. And even if you're Clark Lee and you're measured and you give all the detail, and what we played was 1%.
Yes.
Of a very long discussion,
yes.
Philosophical discussion that he had on the podium there.
He is an engaging orator.
Yeah, and he will answer the question. And he's got the Barry Trotz. Let me just give you details A, B, C, and D to go with my answer. But in the world of the tweet and the snippet, when you get it sounds like he's Diego Pavia. I think we can play into January. And that's not – remember, you may not remember this, but Derek Mason, the coach, his first year, after he replaced James Franklin, who had bowl game, nine-win bowl game. Those his three seasons. You know, 6 wins, they went 6-7, 9, and then 9. He came in, and I think a lot of people were saying, Vanderbilt's roster doesn't look quite as good. Even if James Franklin had stayed, I think they were going to have a dip. We'll never know. It's a what if of how the program would have gone if Franklin would have stayed 2 or 3 more years. But Derek Mason came in, and he did go Diego Pavia. We want to win the East. If you can't say it, you can't be it. Or, you know, he had some quotes, and they made the big headlines. And then they were awful, awful his first year. Clark Lee does not, it's not what he intended to do, but that one quote can be taken the wrong way,
yes.
I would say.
Yes.
Out of context.
Absolutely. Okay. You may now recede from Coach Willie.
Okay. The Coach Willie hat is off.
It is fun to react to games when Willie is invested because he does not text. He does not reply to texts.
Right. You got no text during that Alabama game.
No.
Hey, they're winning.
No.
Hey, they got this.
No, I understand it. I'm the same way. By the way, Predators fans, in roughly 8 minutes, you will have the entire Predators schedule at your disposal. The NHL is releasing full schedules at noon. The Predators home opener was announced earlier today. The Predators will open at home, and I also think open the season. We'll find out in a few minutes. Against the Columbus Blue Jackets, October 9th, 7 o'clock. At Bridgestone Arena. So blink, and soon we might be back at Bridgestone Arena at Barrel House doing the show from Predators opening night, October 9th against the Columbus Blue Jackets. So again, NHL schedule is released. Then we'll be able to find out when Willie's not going to be here for a few months.
I'm always here in spirit.
Well, you usually are on remotely.
Via Zoom.
Yes, yeah. You will. You're always here, but you're not here. It's different when you're here.
No question.
We feel
no
the love. We feel the vibe. It's a good vibe when you're here.
And I do think you might pay a little more attention than you do some years when the schedule comes out, only because of the uniqueness. The Stockholm trip coupled with the Olympic break is going to create some compression in their schedule.
Yes.
That even is above and beyond compression in, for example, last year they had a break for the Four Nations.
Yes.
Right?
They were off for about 2 weeks.
Yeah. The Olympic break is equal as long. Plus, you're going to have some space on either side of that trip to Stockholm. So, jamming in those other games, there's going to be a lot of unique quirks in the schedule.
Usually, the teams that return from those overseas trips, they get basically the entire next week off. Like, the Predators may play, they're playing two games, right? They're playing two games in Sweden. Once they get back, they'll be off for like a week.
Yeah.
Like, that's usually how it happens.
Unfortunately, the last time they did that, they won the two games against the Sharks
at the start of the season.
Came back and they were terrible for the next couple weeks. And, you know, you can't make excuses, but they were awful. And it set the whole season behind the eight ball. And we know how it turned out. As it ended up, they made the big four trades and they started resetting some things.
By my
count, the transition to Barry Trotz.
By my count, after winning those two games to start the season in Prague, they lost 7 of 8 after they returned from Prague.
And didn't look good. You know, you can have a stretch where you don't win much, but they just didn't play well. They I don't know if it was jet lag or whatever. They lost the mojo in a big way. Hopefully that will not happen this time. But it is going to be a challenging schedule. And I have felt that in the Western Conference, with Seattle coming into the league and now Utah in the league, in the division of the Predators, that the travel has even added a layer of odyssey. You know, it's not easy. The grind of the schedule is a lot. So when it's compressed, I think there's going to be some tough stretches on the road.
So in 5 minutes, Predators fans, you will have the entire schedule for the upcoming season, but that'll do it for us today. Also in 5 minutes, the start of the Chase and Big Joe show live from Atlanta. SEC Media Days coverage sponsored by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey live on Chase and Big Joe at 12:45. So do not miss that. On behalf of Derek, be loved, love on your people. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 9. Peace.